Hey guys, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, check it out. You stream your movies, you stream your music, why not stream your podcasts? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 5,000 of your favorite shows right to your smartphone or pad. No muss, no fuss, no filling up your phone. Download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you today. Casey McPherson is here. He is back. He was here 4 years ago on the show, believe it or not. He is from the band Alpha Rev and also the band Flying Colors. He is a Black Fret nominee. He is playing the second annual Black Fret Black Ball Gala this Friday, December 4th, 2015 at the Paramount Theater, along with Dan Dyer, Jazz Mills, Nakia, Tamika Jones, Mother Falcon, East Cameron Folk Corps, and many more. He's just got off tour this summer. He's been doing a lot of stuff. He's doing some stuff with Habitat for Humanity. As I said, this band Flying Colors that he's in with Mike Portnoy and the great Steve Morse. It's kind of like a progressive rock pop band. It's really interesting. It's great. I play a song at the very end of the show of it. It's a beautiful song, actually. Gorgeous song. And Alpha Rev has a new single out. He's doing some new stuff. He's doing some stuff under the name Casey McPherson. Anyway, we have a great conversation and we catch up. So, before we get to that conversation, let me tell you, on Wednesday, I will be moderating a panel. The Austin Music Foundation presents Expanding Your Horizons, Booking Local and Regional and National Shows, a panel discussion on attainable booking methods for artists to book themselves locally, regionally, and nationally, Wednesday, December 2nd at 7 p.m. at St. Elmo's Soundstage, which is at Fort 15 St. Elmo Road here in Austin, Texas. The panelists will include artist Charlie Fay, artist A&R Peterson, my dear friend from Kelly Clarkson's band, and booking agent Laura Thomas from Combo Plate Booking. And I will be moderating the whole thing. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org to get your tickets and information on that. Got the week off from Skyrocket. I've been hanging out, taking care of Zuri. She's been sick since Thanksgiving. And, you know, I haven't been sick, but I've been kind of getting in the vibe. You know, just kind of doing the sick, you know, PJs. Unless then like Zuri can't go somewhere. She doesn't have the luxury for that. But I actually feel well, so I just get up and go, all right, see you later. And then I leave and go do stuff. Had some great podcasts this weekend. Did the Trisha's this morning. I did a podcast with Paco Estrada yesterday out at Orb Studios. Great time. Good times. All right. I will be doing the red carpet interviews at, I won't be the only one, but I'll be on the red carpet doing interviews Friday, December 4th at the Paramount Theater at the Black Fret Black Ball Gala. Get your tickets at blackfret.org. All right. I'm looking forward to that. I've never done red carpet questions yet, but I guess I'd need to for this show, man. I'll get a bunch of people talking. Hey, how's it going? Are those shoes? Hey, why did you wear that weird hat? So those are some of the questions I'm working on. If you have any better ones, you can tweet them at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy on Twitter. Hey, don't forget, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Get over there. You can find pictures. Picture of me and Casey McPherson, who I have a fantastic conversation with. Go check them out at alpharev.com, flyingcolorsmusic.com, or look them up on Facebook or Twitter or even Instagram. Casey McPherson is a great artist. We've been friends for well over a decade now. Been in a band together, traveled the country together in a van, and I was in his wedding. We're bros. And so we had a great conversation. We got to sit down and catch up. We hadn't seen each other since the summer. So go to alpharev.com, flyingcolorsmusic.com. We have 3 shows this week. I got Eve and the Exiles coming up on Wednesday. Surprise show on Friday. What's coming up on Friday? I don't know. Don't forget to go to the Black Fret Black Ball Gala this Friday, December 4th at the Paramount Theater. Casey McPherson, my guest today, will be on there. He'll be playing. I'll be on the red carpet asking people questions. I need a question for Casey. Go to the Facebook page. Give me a question for Casey. Thank you so much for listening to this show. I love you guys, and I love Casey McPherson. Enjoy our conversation. Let's get down. You are.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
He set that up.
Well, and I really, honestly, like, I'm doing it because I believe in them and I want to promote them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because we've been around the block with stuff we're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, there needs to be some artists, like, because technically, we could be like mentors too,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But I felt, so we made a video and I'm going to like post it all over the place where I talk about Black Fret and
oh, that's
all
awesome.
That. And I'm hoping to get a bunch of my fans to become members.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, cause it's so rad.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're playing their black ball gala. On Friday, December 4th at the Paramount Theater, along with Dan Dyer, Jazz Mills, Nakia, Tamika Jones, Mother Falcon, and East Cameron Folklore, and many more.
Yes, and many more.
Are you playing by yourself at that?
And Danny Malone.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the, I like Danny.
I do too. I'm playing with Dave and Brian.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be
the
like...
The strings.
The string thing, which is kind of the heart of, you know.
That's funny because to me, when I think about the Alpha Rev and how you started out, the strings were the big difference.
Yeah, they're the only dudes that are still playing with me.
Oh, that's true.
Know?
Yeah.
And they still have, you know, they have real jobs now. But there's just something magical.
Yeah.
To get to play with those dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they doing? Didn't Brian go off to do like his own?
Brian's kind of doing his own band thing, but he's, you know, he'd almost really be considered vice president of Thunderbird Coffee.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's not his title, but he is second in command to the owner.
Wow.
You know? And then Dave, you know, he just had a kid, and then Dave just had a kid about a few days ago.
Congratulations, you just had another kid.
Yeah, and I just had a kid.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago. But people are making babies, starting families, and
how old is your oldest daughter?
22 months.
Does she? That's almost 2 years. Does she know your music? Does she like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. She'll sit in my lap, and I'll play piano, and she'll rock out.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. I saw a video of you this morning doing "The Promise."
The Promise.
Yeah, that "When in Rome" song.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's like an ongoing argument in Skyrocket for like the last 10 years.
What?
Should we play that song?
Like, yeah, you should not play that song.
Well, the second we start playing it, you romanticize. It's a great song.
Yeah.
There's a reason why you respond.
I did romanticize it a little bit more, like make it more ballady, I guess.
No. But you have this memory of that song because it's just so like.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You want to sing it. You want to stand on the top of a mountain and tell someone how much you love them.
Promise you.
So how did you hear that song? Because this is one thing I've always been fascinated with you is that, like, I remember trying to play Hall & Oates for you in the van, and you didn't know who they were.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so weird. We talked a lot about this last time, but how did you hear The Promise?
My sister-in-law said I should cover it.
Oh.
Because she loves 80s.
Is she from Houston?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that song did so well in Houston.
Yeah, it really did. She's like, cover that song. So I said, okay. You know what's really funny is that just this last tour we were on, we were playing it somewhere in L.A. I want to say the Mint.
Mm-hmm.
And a few months before that, the singer of When in Rome actually reached out to us and said, dude, I love your version of The Promise.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so we were like, well, why don't you come sing it with me at the Mint? And then he like threw down some like crazy amount of money to show up and play. I'm like, dude.
Oh, really? Yeah. He didn't even like, oh, sure, I'll kind of like
no,
you.
No, yeah, let's it was like, you know, pay me $5,000, $10,000, whatever it was. You know? And I'm like, dude, this is the Mint.
That is like, so weird.
Our guarantee's probably like $500, you know?
Yeah. Jesus. So you did this tour with Tabor. That's when you went on tour in like September, mm-hmm. October. What? It was just you and him?
Me, him, and this guitar player from, you remember that band Jets Under Fire?
I know that name.
He's incredible. And so he started playing with me because Zach hired him as a fill-in.
Oh, okay.
And,
So anyway, so you guys did this tour.
Yeah.
And, how was it? It turned out good? You have a good time?
Made money and there was no one died. And well, actually, someone did die the first.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on Facebook. Sorry about that.
Tabor held this dude in his arms as he passed. That was like had a car accident outside of El Paso. Whew. And that was pretty, you know, so the West Coast, though, was like. West Coast is always hard for me in terms of fans and just touring, but Midwest and East Coast was great. You know, we had a consistent, probably averaged about 100 people a night, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, West Coast being like the low end.
Right. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
For anyone.
It was my first real headlining tour I've ever done.
Oh,
like,
really?
That long, yeah.
Wow.
For 6 weeks. You know.
And then what was the cruise you went on?
Well, you know,
it was the rock cruise.
It was a Prague rock cruise.
Yeah.
So
it's a flying colors.
Yeah, it's a flying colors.
Yeah.
Basically, there is a group of people out there that circumvented all of being cool in order to play whatever kind of music they wanted to play. But pop culture associated with it. I guess some bands like Floyd and Radiohead and Yes.
Right, there's some, but these guys also, it wasn't just like avoiding pop culture, but they're also like playing music kind of with a different intent that we do. They're trying to conquer this thing that's going to be really, really hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're exactly right.
As opposed to like, maybe this chick will blow me out.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, there are no chicks in prog rock. No, you know, and it's a big joke, you know, it's like, like we were in this on this boat, you know, and the only women there were like girlfriends or wives, you know. So my wife was just like, "Yeah, go, you know, have fun."
Because she was super pregnant.
Yeah,
she was about.
We just had the kid. So. Yeah. But yeah, so I got introduced into this progressive rock world when Mike Portnoy asked me to sing for this band they were putting together, Flying Colors, and it's just kind of, and then this cruise that I played was my first time to ever have my name in a progressive rock thing because Flying Colors couldn't play it, so they booked me.
Oh, okay.
And so it was my first time to be like a name in progressive rock.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I can't play as fast as all those other dudes play, you know, but I tried to kind of put my own spin on it.
Did you play the songs kind of by yourself, or did
you?
Okay.
So I played some songs I'd written, some Flying Colors songs, and I actually paid a bunch of money to this Ableton tutor in town, and so I could create all these loops.
Oh, that's
live
cool.
With Ableton, you know, and then I passed my iPad around to the audience so they could play, you know, those grids where you can do like a different, like if you're in the key of E, you're gonna do like a. Everything you play will be in the key of E. So you can't play like a wrong note.
Right, right, right.
Instead of it just being like a major
scale. Yeah.
Like a pentatonic.
Right, right.
So anything you play there, it's going to sound like a guitar solo.
Right.
So I put it to like E pentatonic when I was playing an E. And passed around the iPad because there's this new app that connects to the computer that you're doing Ableton, and people would solo with my iPad, and then everyone would clap for them, and they pass it around.
That's fucking brilliant.
So I would build loops around people playing with me, the audience playing with me, and that kind of made what I was doing progressive without me having to go.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
It's interesting because I listened to. I was going through all the stuff, and I listened to a commentary version of your last studio album. Has you guys all kind of like talking about the songs in every song? It's pretty interesting. So I was wondering. I mean, one of the things I was wondering is like, how do they write these songs? Like, do they send Casey jams, or do they all get together and jam? And there's a lot of Skype sessions. What is that like?
Yeah, so I mean, Neil is kind of like more of a 70s, 80s pop guy, the keyboard player, you know, and I would be more of the modern pop guy. And so, and then Steve Morse would send legend. These incredible, like, weird Irish.
Oh, right, because what was the band that he's in?
Dixie Dregs, and then Kansas, and then...
There was another band, though.
Deep Purple...
No, there's like a, isn't he in like some Irish,
some fire,
giant Irish folk thing?
I don't know, but he's, man, when he plays that stuff, it sounds like it's straight from the hills.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So we'd all kind of throw in these ideas. It's Steve Morse actually has a lot of Muse vibe in him.
Yeah.
You know, and which I gravitated towards.
Yeah.
So, but we take, Mike would sift through those ideas really every morning. And we'd say, we're going to work on that. Might be just a melody or something. And then we'd write that song that day.
Together?
And together.
In a place. Oh, wow, that's cool.
And multi-track it, you know. And then everybody would come back later and put their real instruments on with their personal engineer or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So we could make the record in 10 days and then take another 3 months of overdubbing in each person's house without having to be there.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think it worked. You know, it works well for progressive when it's not about like the vibe is mainly really a little bit more about the parts and how they relate to each other.
Yeah.
You know.
And do they give you have freedom to do in your space in the music you have, that's your space.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But I do make, you know, I mean, I can't tell. We're all from different eras, you know, and so I can't make it a modern rock band.
Yeah.
And
who calls the last shot, Mike?
I think he usually calls the last shots. Yeah.
There's a leader guy.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's like...
Yeah. He's super opinionated, so it helps to have someone like that around.
He's in like half the bands in the world at this point now, right?
Yeah.
Because when you were saying that you went on the Progressive Rock Cruise, I was like, was it a band that just... Mike Portnoy's drums are set up and he plays with like 23 different bands?
Because yeah.
He is like... Every time I wake up, he has started a new band on some... The only reason I know, too, is because I watched that metal show. You ever watch that?
No.
It's like the dorkiest show in the whole world. Yeah, they're just... It's like a metal... It's like a show that this guy, Eddie Trunk, and these two heavy metal comedians have, and they just have all these heavy metal people on there. But it's real cool. But he's on there a lot.
Yeah, well, so he's... We were hanging out. On the boat, and he was just saying, he's like, I've limited my life to 6 bands. Because, you know, he made so much money in Dream Theater and built that from the ground up. And when he left Dream Theater, you know, there's a particular kind of lifestyle he's trying to keep up too, you know. And really, if you're starting a new band, I mean, he's probably one of the most famous drummers in the world.
Yeah.
He can go out and play with any band, and there will be a crowd there
just
because of him, you know. And which I don't know if there's any other drummers out there that can do that.
Not a lot.
Yeah, so I think he's been kind of transitioning into that. Like, okay, cool, I can enjoy music again, and maybe my lifestyle might, you know, I might not be...
Super rich, yeah.
As rich, yeah, but he's still doing pretty good.
Does he lives in Seattle?
No, he lives in Jersey.
In Jersey?
Yeah.
Why did I think he was from Seattle?
I don't know.
I know he went to
a nice house in Jersey.
He was the Mr. Rocket Baby drummer, Brian Keeling's roommate at Berkeley.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Uh-uh. Those guys are buddies.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Strange. It's a small world out there. So, oh, yeah. Let's see what else. Oh, so this is what I was going to. You guys just released a live album, DVD, CD, like last week, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that, there's like a 3-record vinyl package, even.
Is there?
Yeah. Do you do vinyl? You listen to music on vinyl?
Yeah, yeah. I got a record player. I got my grandfather's record player now. So, but I mean, I primarily listen to old records on that. You know, just old country and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, classical.
What do you listen to? Like, what are you listening to?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess if you're going to say like modern music, I really love that. I was listening to Bjork yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was listening to, what's that girl, Florence and the Machine?
Yeah.
Adele record's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I'll probably get laid a couple of times by putting that on.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely listen to that.
She's a pretty exceptional artist.
Yeah.
And you know what's weird is to see just this morning all the numbers. She sold like more than 1 million records in 3 days, or more than 1 million singles in 3 days.
Amazing.
Hasn't been done since NSYNC. And you know what's weird? The NSYNC song was Bye Bye Bye, and the Adele song is Hello. Isn't that weird?
Maybe we just need to write something in between that. What's the song in between that?
I don't know. Yeah. Hey, you can hang out for a while, but then you're going to need to leave. Yeah. Hey, great to see you, but I don't have a lot of time
today.
Yeah,
we got 15 minutes.
You guys tour mostly Europe and stuff. Is that album live in Europe? Is that what the Z7 is?
That's out of, I believe we were in the Benelux area somewhere. I can't remember where. I want to say Norway. But
that's been a fantastic thing for you, joining that band. You've really gotten to see Europe.
Being in a double-decker bus with lots of techs and like, I mean, you know, we've slugged our equipment together for many years, you know. And
you got a guy?
Yeah, I got a guy.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I get to see Europe, which I never really was able to tour Europe with Alpha Rev. And you know, the progressive rock fans, man, they're such sweet people. You know, they love music that's emotional, that affects them, and that's performed with excellence.
Yep.
And you know, they're musicians' fans, you know. So you're no longer, I could play a pop song or I could play, you know, 20-minute guitar solo, and they'd still love you.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's been cool to be around that and not feel so on the, I don't know, like not the spotlight, but, you know, I remember doing those.
Carrying the thing.
Yeah.
Like you're the guy.
Yeah.
And this, you're part of a thing.
Yeah. I get to be like lead singer guy.
Yeah.
And not like the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, I don't make any decisions other than songwriting, and I don't make any production decisions. I don't make any touring decisions. It's really awesome. I get to be kind of the airheaded lead singer guy.
I mean, you've always been the guy that...
Yeah.
I mean...
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be the guy.
Yeah. Well, I remember when even in Indochine, like you... I mean, I remember I helped you book hotels one time.
So yeah.
I mean, you did so much shit in that band.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of like the model now, though. Like, if you want to be a rock star and a guy out there touring, you got to be able to schlep your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got to book your own places. You got to do your own promotion. You got to Instagram your lunch.
Yeah.
You got a lot to do.
Yeah.
Where do you stand with all that stuff? I was looking through your Twitter and stuff. There's not like a lot of, hey, I'm just laying here.
No, I'll never be good at that, you know, because it just feels so like
weird.
Weird. And I guess maybe I'm trying to get more into the art and less about me, and I'm not say that in any kind of judgmental way, but you know, when you're married and everything, you got to really be careful about how awesome you think you are anyway. Or just when you're in a relationship.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so it's like,
yeah,
it's like tweeting about how awesome I am is not going to necessarily help me on that other end. It might help me on my band end, but I'm trying to figure out ways of like creatively engaging people about stuff that
doesn't include just goofiness.
My food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah. Or like look at me, you know, look how awesome I am.
I know.
Because that's, I don't know.
It's weird, but people do respond to that.
They do. Yeah, so I struggle with that.
It's a strange thing, and you've got to do it. I had a meltdown the other day in San Antonio. Not like a meltdown that anyone saw, but backstage in between sets, the Skyrocket show. There were so many people filming, taking pictures of themselves, standing in front. I was like, doesn't anybody just get into what they're like?
The moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Can anyone just enjoy the moment?
Well, I think we're kind of in, and honestly, we're in like the teenage years, and we probably will be for the next 50 years, 100 years of like...
technology?
Yeah, of technology and how we utilize it in terms of...
That's really interesting.
As we see kind of mentally that we still, that this is emptier by like, we're trying to capture moments instead of be in the moments.
Yeah.
So we're going to figure out ways of capturing moments without us having to not be in the moment, you know?
Right.
Like, because... it just starts becoming really unhealthy. You and I have always been like in the moment dudes.
Yeah.
You know.
I like being in the moment.
Yeah. And
that's why I like this, because you're just kind of there doing.
And that's why you're great at this.
Thanks.
You know.
That's probably what I was fishing for.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. And.
And you are a brilliant musician. I have a friend that posted a thing the other day, this article that was about how kids' creativity. And there, because I'm sure as a parent, like, you're going to be coming across this stuff. I mean, who knows? Your kid might even use an iPad at 22 months. No?
Already, yeah. She already knows my my lock code. Yeah. So she can get into my iPad without me being around. Because she's watched me type it in enough times. Like, not even 2 years old.
That's weird. When my grandpa passed away last year, we were going through all these pictures, and my cousin Amy had a baby.
Oh, she did?
Uh-huh. And she was like three. And we're passing around these physical pictures. And we go, hey, you know who that is? That's your mommy. And she goes, oh. Like, she tried to make the picture bigger.
Bigger.
And I was like,
with her fingers on the picture. Oh, yeah.
Like, wow, she's from a different generation. Like, she's from the future.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, man. She, Weston can get through any apps, but the good thing is like we're using the keyboard apps. We're drawing a lot.
That's good.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And got this app where we both can draw together. I can draw on one phone and she can draw on a different phone, and it shows the artwork together and just cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Things like that.
Yeah. Well, what my friend had posted was an article basically saying that kids' creativity and imaginations and everything just plummets. Ours plummet. And that she's noticed that since her daughter got a pad last year, she doesn't make stuff up all the time. She's not walking around singing songs. She's not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, we're starting to kind of plug in. And because some of it's a degree of escape, because reality is just hard. It takes work.
It's almost like pacifying.
Yeah,
it's almost like drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I'll just get in the iPad and I'll just watch.
Yeah.
Bunch of episodes.
Yeah,
of
and then and I don't recreation. Have to think about anything. Yeah. I can just enjoy being not thinking, not doing, you know. Maybe it replaces our ability to be in the moment with something.
Yeah. You know?
So we'll see how all that pans out. But yeah, it's hard to Facebook. My wife's a lot better at just going like, she's better at wittiness.
Yeah, she doesn't seem like a, there doesn't seem like a, hey, look at me. Because there is a certain level of, you do want to keep up with people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You want to know what your artists are doing and your friends are doing.
Yeah. And, you know, and family with children. Like, my cousin Christopher, I don't see him that much, but I keep up with his wife's real good about, like, Instagram and shit like that. And I actually enjoy, like, oh, cool, look, they're at the thing.
It's yeah.
Stupid.
No, yeah. And you don't have to call them, too. You're just like, yeah, okay, cool.
So I've never met your kids, but I do enjoy them on
Facebook. Social media. Yeah. They're great. They're great on Facebook.
Weird thing. So there's something I've wanted to talk to you about for a while. One of my favorite musicians of all time and a guy that I've gotten to hang out with a few times, Jason Faulkner.
Oh, yeah.
You've worked with. Yeah.
Him and Roger Manning, man. I got to write with both of those dudes. And I'm actually going to be doing my first like progressive rock record, you know, or progressive music record.
Your own?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Over this next year, I'm working with Noveski.
Oh, nice.
On it. But I'm going to get Jason and talk to Jason and Roger both about writing for it and doing some recording with it. And those guys were really, I mean, they're on a different level. You know, they're kind of on the pop. They're very progressive musicians, you know. Obviously, playing with Beck. Beck's like a progressive artist.
Yeah.
He just exists in the pop world,
yeah.
You know. So I'm curious to bring them in. You know, Jellyfish was... You're the first person that ever told me about them.
That's my band.
Yeah.
I have them on vinyl.
Really?
That's the tool I am. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jason, dude, he's such a player, man. Like, on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
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 He's good-looking dude.
Yeah. He's
got some model around, you know.
He's a funny. He was really nice. Like there was a time, like you know how, like when you have a deal, like the guy that signed us to Lars's label mm-hmm. was this guy Dan McCarroll, and he was the drummer of the Grays, which was the band that John mm-hmm. Bryan and Jason mm-hmm. Faulkner had. So I got to meet him through him, and just kind of hang with him a few times. When I worked with Jack Joseph Puig, he came one day and hung out, and then I got to go to one of his shows and. He's so nice and so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to play with him more.
So is Noveski going to produce the record or are you going to
produce it? We're kind of producing it together. Yeah. I mean, Orb is such a great studio and Matt's such a positive dude to work with.
Yeah.
You know, and Blue October's not touring for a while. So I've been wanting to hang out with him and do something with him for a while.
Yeah.
It helps me to have like a really positive force around to create.
Is that going to be under Casey McPherson?
I think so, yeah. Might be my first
solo record.
Solo. Wow. Yeah.
What's going to happen then with Al? I mean, are you, what are you doing?
I'm writing for some Alpha Rev.
Okay.
No, I am. I just.
Oh, you're finding different outlets for the different things that you can do.
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so I'm exploring this new thing. And once I get enough music for that, I'll go. There's a couple labels I've been talking to for Alpha Rev and a couple labels I've been talking to for this prog thing. And they're just totally different worlds, you know.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, I'm getting older in the sense that if I'm not going to go for radio single, then and I can do what I love. And there's an audience out there for that, that maybe those are the labels I need to be looking at, you know, and not the radio labels, you know, let radio be a byproduct if you write this awesome song, but not be the means to whether or not you're going to be successful.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Cause that's what I've been relying on my last two Alpha Rev records. And
have you had to hire independent radio people?
Oh yeah. I mean, spent, you know, over $50,000 to $100,000 on radio people, you know, and that's just in AAA radio,
yeah.
Which doesn't even sell records hardly.
Right.
So you have to be in, you know, the fact that I know any of this stuff, it's also kind of sad, you know, hot AC radio and all this stuff. It's like all of that, the DJs don't even really get to play they don't play what they want to play anymore. Right. It's all Arbitron. That's a company that dictates the level of success each song has, and the way they dictated that is pagers that subliminal or pagers that people wear, not necessarily educated people wear,
right?
But pagers people wear, and as long as they don't turn the station, if the station ever gets turned, the song's got a great rating.
Okay.
And so the way that they're rating music now is just that the station doesn't get turned. So if you think about what kind of value does a song has to be kind of a good background music song if it's not going to get turned, which means it can't be too one way or the other. It can't hit you. Cause if it hits you, it's probably going to hit someone else the wrong way. Or if it hits you the right way, someone else isn't going to like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we've just created in America this system that's not sustainable for terrestrial radio, you know. So I'm excited to kind of go a different route than that.
How do you get the word out then? Through,
for me, it'll just be the signing with the right label that has the artists the promoters, the magazines that are on their side, mm-hmm. you know, because I, having kids now, I'm not going to have enough time to do that. So if for me, there's no, I'll have to, the labels I'm talking to are within these niches of like, for AlphaRev, it'd be like kind of the Americana niche.
Right.
And which is publications and some radio and some just touring with the right guys, you know,
yeah.
And you're let into that world.
Yeah.
Literally, it's like you walk in through a door and they decide whether or not they're going to open it for you.
Yeah.
And once you're there, there's an extra 10, 50, 100,000 fans just say, we accept you.
Yeah.
You're now part of our catalog, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll be doing that with that. And then one with the progressive rock, which will only or primarily be in Europe for that record. Cause there's not a lot of, there's more prog rock fans in Europe, you know, than America.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. We'll see.
Did you notice that the crowds, like the crowds are different? Are they more into it in Europe?
Oh, dude, way more into it.
I get that a lot.
Yeah, like so. Yeah, you know, they're like, we're so stoked to be here.
Yeah.
You could hear a pin drop with 2,000 people in a room when you're playing a slow, you know, melody.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you can't get 10 people in Austin to be right. quiet, you know?
Yeah. Oh, dude, check this out. This is going to make you laugh. So my dad is like, he's crazy, like over the top, just crazy. Like Obama wasn't born in the United States and he's a Muslim and he's secretly converting everyone to Muslim.
Yeah.
Like seriously.
Yeah.
So he after the thing happened in France, he was last week, he was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to play at this place, the Townsend, tonight. I'm doing a solo show. And he's like, you better look out because they're killing people at concerts. I was like, Dad, 9 people come see me play.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to be not a very
my concert.
Fruitful,
yeah.
It's not going to be a very fruitful terrorism act. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Did you play that place there?
I want to say that we may have played that place the first Flying Colors tour. Because the second...
Because it looks like you play some huge...
There's like some nice, theaters. Yeah. Which was cool, you know? I mean, out of the gate, you know? Had nothing to do with me, you know? I'm like just...
No, but it's good that you're able to get something from it, you know? Let me ask you this. With the Black Fret thing, I guess they're just behind you as an artist. So if it's AlphaRev... Or if it's Casey McPherson, you can draw out money, or
yeah. Well, I think you know because since right now I'm just focusing on Casey. You know what that means. You know, you draw out money. So kind of the way Black Fret works is that you unlock Fox. Different parts
right.
Monetarily depending on what you. Your touring schedule
it
will
can
be
and from
recording.
Like recording, your van broke down.
Yeah.
You need some money for tour support. You need some new gear.
Which, as we know, for a musician, that prevents the let's go buy $10,000 worth of blow.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. Well, I remember there was a weird controversy that Max Frost had gotten one because he had a deal and stuff. And I was like, that's almost like when you need it the most. That extra $10,000 to stay on the road or to help.
Oh, for sure.
Get
because
to a big show or, you know.
That's all a big, I mean, unless, I don't remember what his advance was, but many times the label gives you an advance and then they give you a grueling schedule that your advance is gone within a year.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Or even less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, part of it was like, well, this, I think that the system they've created is... maybe my favorite system I've seen.
The Black Fret system.
Yeah. Of how to develop an artist.
Yeah.
And how to create, like we don't want to go, like people that love art don't always want to go to a dingy club to go see an artist.
That's true.
So the fact that they can, our lives are so busy and so they can go to these house parties that are like catered and they can dress nice and there's intelligent, fun people there and then see this great music, be exposed to great music they may or may not even know because Black Fret's kind of managing all that,
right?
You know, and then these artists develop their audience and then have a way of sustaining that with this with this grant. And I just, you know, they want to do this all over the world, you know? Yeah. And so I want to do whatever I can to raise awareness for them, because it's actually a thing that's working, as opposed to, you know, it's a nonprofit, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one, there's no big guy with a cigar in the back room raping a bunch of artists.
No.
You know, and you and I know that that's yeah. more often than not the case. Yeah. So it's exciting to me to see.
It's a very good program.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that they've done so much in just 2 years, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the guys behind it.
Colin and Matt.
Yeah. Super passionate dudes. Yeah. And then, you know, the all of the mentors and everything. Uh-huh. You know, they're all old bros. Like, they're all bros of ours. You know, they're all guys that have become successful in Austin that we know, that you and I have worked
with. And they're also
with.
Not just, they're like huge guys like Tim Palmer and CJ Erickson and stuff like that are, you know, I think they're still on there.
They are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So have you, you're a nominee. You haven't gotten the grant yet.
If I know all the voters, and if I don't get it, you know, I'd be like, man.
You're all going to get a dirty diaper on your doorstep.
Yeah, exactly. No.
When do they decide? Do they?
They voted a couple weeks ago, I think.
Oh, do they announce?
They announce at the Black Ferret.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
You are?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I got invited yesterday to be on the red carpet.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get maybe a new suit.
Dude, do it. Go to Zara. They got some pretty good ones.
Zara?
Yeah.
That's crazy clothes, man.
Is it? No. If you
that's
you
like
find
velvet,
their,
velvet.
No. Find their simpler stuff. You can't go. You can't go with their. You got to go with their simple stuff. Their simple stuff's really, really cool. It's they go a little overboard, you know. But
yeah, there's a new weird length to t-shirts, like at H&M and Zara, where it goes like scooping down to your knees or something.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
that didn't work for me.
No. That's weird. At what point do you ever feel like I'm too old to keep up with this weird style?
Every day, man.
Yeah.
Well, every day I have to put on skinny pants. I just, you know, like these I have on right now. Yeah. I stopped trying to look for skinny jeans, and I just got on Amazon and looked for the skinny jeans that people said felt the best.
Oh, okay.
And I got these for like $25.
Well, that's great.
They're called Demon Hunter jeans, but, you know, that's okay.
I like Demon Hunters.
Yes.
What about, like, what was I going to ask you? What else was... So what did you do with Jason? Is it out? Can you hear it?
No. Let's see. No, we wrote a bunch of tunes together. And so that was more for the Alpha Rev stuff.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth with... Because some of it's so trippy, you know?
Did you record with him at his place?
Yeah. It was just writing demos of like vocals and guitars, you know. He had just got off tour too, so he was pretty worn out, you know. Otherwise we probably would have done actual recording.
Yeah.
But I think in January we're going to be doing more stuff together. Good. Which will be awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
There's a thing he told me, but I can't say it on the mic. It's going to make you laugh so hard.
Tell me after then.
I have to tell you after. Is there anything else? Or what are you planning for the new year? You're going to go in the studio in the Orb in January?
Yeah, so we'll be working at Orb for some stuff to, you know, hopefully release this Casey McPherson record. And then I'll probably make the record and then find the label to release it, you know. Because these days it seems like they kind of want to know what they're about to buy.
Right.
You know. So we'll do that. And then I'll do an Alpha Rev record, you know, maybe the end of this spring. And I'll probably be helping Black Fred out some more, too. You know, it'd be nice to see them. I think they're up to 1,000 members now.
Oh, really?
So they're awarding, I want to say they're awarding over $100,000 at this Black Ball.
So it's going to be different than 10 people getting 10,000. It's going to be...
No, yeah, so 10 people getting 10,000, okay. And then, you know, it'd be nice to...
I know that they wanted to do more, and I know I had some conversation, but I can't remember exactly what they were like. I know they want to be able to give more people more than $10,000.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was...
And there may be one that gets 20, I think, or something. I don't know. I was looking on there that they're... But it'd be cool to, like, double or triple their numbers over this next year. Because if they're awarding like 10 artists, 20 or 30K, you know, you could make a record. You could release a record. You could almost do like a label release with that much money.
Yeah.
You know, if you got into like the 30 or 50K mark, like you're getting really close to like what an indie label would spend on a national release to break an artist.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that that could all be supported by just people going to a party once a month.
You know?
I mean, that's insane.
But you feel like you still got to get out there and play shows and earn fans the way you did.
Yeah,
I mean, you were in Indochine.
Totally. You got to play the right, you know, you got to play the places people love to go see music at. Mm-hmm. And if you're, you know, if people are connecting with you, that they'll become new fans. Like, I've just become a new fan of this band called Marillion.
Who's
on
that?
The prog rock tour. Oh. I've never heard of. They're like all in their 50s. They're amazing. Never heard of them, you know, but if they weren't playing a show, I'd.
Yeah, you
know,
wouldn't have known them.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. People need to get out and see music. I think ultimately that's still that, like, just go out to the shows. Like,
yeah.
You're not buying the music. We know that. But just go to the show.
You and I need to go. We should commit to that on this radio show right now.
We'll go together to some shows.
We're going to go see some shows.
Okay. I go see shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can talk about them later.
And we'll talk about them. Yeah. I talk about them on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else I'm missing?
No, man. Other than I should say that I'm such a fan of your music.
Oh, thank you.
And for the listeners out here.
Yeah.
That Johnny Gowdy's been a big influence in my life, and one of the first artists that I saw when I came up to Austin, going like, oh man, I have to be this good.
Yeah.
You know, I remember feeling that way, going like, oh no.
That's awesome. You know?
So it's cool that you're doing this for other like fans and listeners and artists, and you know.
Well, it's important that people hear our conversations and know where we're coming from, and I feel like that just gets them a better connection to the artist than, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
totally.
Just hearing a song. You should be able to just hear a song, like that person, and go buy their music and go see them and become a fan, but it doesn't really work like that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
giving the people what they want. So people can find you at alpharev.com. They can find Flying Colors Music or Flying Colors at flyingcolorsmusic.com. What about the Casey McPherson updates? They'll be on Alpha Rev.
Yeah,
social media and stuff.
I'm kind of mixing the Casey McPherson Alpha Rev social media, but I have separated the two. You know, I do have my own Facebook page.
Oh, Casey McPherson.
I have like 9 likes right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll go like it.
Yeah.
What is it? It's
Casey McPherson.
Okay.
Facebook.
That's it?
That's it, yeah. Oh.
Not even Casey McPherson Music?
Just Casey McPherson? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Mm. Okay.
So.
There's nothing else these people got to know? They can see you play at the second annual Black Ball Gala held by Black Fret, Friday, December 4th, Paramount Theater, 6 p.m., Dan Dyer, Jazz Mills, Nakia, Tamika Jones, Mother Falcon, East Cameron Folk Corps, and Danny Malone, and you, Casey McPherson, and more.
Yes, and...
How many songs are you playing there? Do you get
Probably two or three, okay. And, you know, for those of you listening, you know, you just get online and look up Black Fret,
and look up
what it is, because if you like music and you want to figure out a cool way of, like, seeing new music, going to cool parties, this is how to do it. And it's like less than $100 a month, you know? So it's you'd be spending that money anyway going to a bar. You may as well do it in this kind of really cool way. And then the money you spend ends up being a way to help promote and progress an artist's career, which I don't think it gets cooler than that. So
no. And that's what the labels originally did.
Yeah.
Was they gave you money because you needed to grow. And now you got independent people like Colin and Matt pulling it together with this group, Black Fret. Go to blackfret.org and see the artists, get involved, see what it is that they do. And that's how you can find out how to get to the show, too, because I think you can get tickets through there.
Yeah,
at the Paramount Theater.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, then I'll see you on Friday, December 4th. Maybe we'll see each other on the red carpet.
Yay!
Yay, I love you, man.
Love you, too.
Casey McPherson. I do love that dude, man. Check out his music at alpharev.com. That's his band, Alpha Rev. You can also check out his band, Flying Colors, which he has with Mike Portnoy and Steve Morse at flyingcolorsmusic.com. Yo, I'm going to play a song from them at the end of the show, so stick around for a minute and you will hear it. Don't forget that you can see Casey McPherson perform this Friday, December 4th, 2015, at the Paramount Theater for the second annual Black Fret Black Ball Gala, along with the likes of Jazz Mills, Dan Dyer, Nakia, Tamika Jones, Mother Falcon, East Cameron Folk Corps, and more. And as we were talking there at the end, I was talking about, I thought I was going to be walking on the red carpet. No, I'm going to be asking questions. So look for that show coming up. Yeah, I'm going to be there Friday asking questions. Hey, what are you wearing? Pants? I got to work on my questions. Okay, hey, thank you so much for listening to the show. Don't forget, you can find Casey McPherson at alpharev.com and at flyingcolorsmusic.com. Here, let's hear some music from Flying Colors. Thank you so much for coming by, Casey. I love you. I want to thank our friends at Juice Consulting and Black Fret for hooking us up with this nice interview. And we'll be talking to you soon. I hope that you have a great week. Oh, don't forget Wednesday, Eve and the Exiles. Yeah, they have a new album coming out this Friday. And Eve and Mike stopped by, and we had a great conversation. You will hear that on Wednesday. All right, let's hear some music from Flying Colors. Have a great week. Let's get down.
To set your course through sightless days.